Once again, the NCAA is late to the punchline. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and I hope that you had a wonderful long weekend and celebrate it with family and honored those that served in the United States military for Memorial Day. So backed up a day, but ready to talk some Auburn basketball again. Make sure you're subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network for all the content around Auburn athletics, whether it's Auburn football. Tons of recruiting news continues to roll in. Coach Alex Golish and his staff are doing a tremendous job on the recruiting trail. And then Auburn baseball hosting a regional for the fourth time in the last five seasons and back-to-back national seeds, top eight seeds. As I mentioned, Auburn was pretty much a lock to be a national seed, but I digress. It's going to be a great weekend of baseball at Plainsman Park for Auburn. But we've got all that coverage right here on the Barn Podcast Network. Hit the like button on YouTube as well. And what we're going to dive in today is a lot about just what the NCAA continues to try. I mean, listen, mess things up would not be the correct way to put it, because I don't necessarily disagree with the direction that the organization is going as far as eligibility goes. Now, here's what is happening. There are new guidelines that the NCAA has presented, and these are not finalized. These are not in action yet or anything like that, but it would bar players who receive compensation exceeding actual expenses from professional or semi-professional leagues. Those players would not be eligible to compete in college. And that would, of course, entail a lot of the international transfers that have committed to programs for this upcoming season. For Auburn, Narcisse Ngoi, and then Montez Roups-Devicius. Both of those guys are former professional players that are committed or signed to play for the Tigers in 2026 and 2027. And there's I think that's an important note here, is signed versus committed. Narcisse Ngoi is signed. Auburn has not officially said that Montez Roups-Devicius is signed to play basketball for Auburn next season. That has not happened yet. So that means that is not even finalized yet. Yes, the commitment is public and it's been discussed by Coach Pearl, but you're still waiting on that to get across the finish line before you can really, have a sigh of relief. So I'm really interested to see if that maybe comes along, and I'm sure it will as this drops or something like that to make this part of the conversation invalid. But this is a very interesting time for the NCAA to try and put its best foot forward. I just don't understand this. I think it's a little bit, it's obviously late in the game for this upcoming season. So my hope would be that this is not impact the 2026 to 2027 season. And this goes across the country. This is not just an Auburn kind of deal. You look at Illinois' roster from last year. That was a lot of international players that played professionally prior overseas. And you can go across the rest of the country and what teams are adding. LSU, a huge example of that. Will Wade, he gets to LSU, basically has zero roster. So he has to get creative and does that by going overseas. And again, while I think there's an aspect to this, this all stems back to, shocker, Charles Bediako and the Alabama situation. That of course, was what the door was cracked, and naturally that is the reason that we're having this discussion. But those are different stories. Of course, this is, like I said, the new guidelines would bar players who receive compensation exceeding actual expenses from professional or semi-professional leagues. That doesn't say anything about overseas or international. That is professional or semi-professional. So is this just kind of targeting those former G League guys that played in college and declared, then are thinking, oh, I screwed up? Maybe. But the way that is phrased, that would be any of those international guys, because they're obviously making money that exceeds that actual expense cost, and is why I'm nervous about this. And I listen, we know how the NCAA goes about these things, and we know how sometimes they either don't come to fruition or it is just a terrible, terrible decision. And that's where I just cringe a little bit, because I just don't know where this is gonna, I don't know where does this turn from here? And that's the next factor. For Auburn, it would be a devastating blow. I don't think, and here's the other thing, it wouldn't be as devastating to as some schools would have it. Duke and Arizona, Kansas State, Baylor, both or all four have brought in a lot of that same talent. So that is part of the reason I don't think this would be enacted this year. It would be, hey, next year, figure it out. And maybe kids would get grandfathered in, and I don't know. That's my biggest concern about this is them trying to enact this year. I don't think they would, because, listen, you just can't. I mean, you would shred a lot of rosters late in the game. Like, we're past Memorial Day. Like I said earlier in the offseason, when talking about the transfer portal, Auburn signed Filip Jovic on Memorial Day last year, and that was late. So good luck filling your roster out if you just happen to have two guys that are now ineligible. So I think that the NCAA will think wisely of it and think, all right, we can't just ruin teams' rosters at this point, at this stage in the offseason. If you did this in January before the season was over, and when teams are not even really thinking about the portal or their rosters for the following season, that's great. But this cannot happen in late May to early June. So this would also really change the strategy, obviously. It would mean for Auburn, let's keep it focused here. Auburn hired general manager Brian Coleman, and a big part of why he is so praised is because of his international relationships. He is a critical part of why Auburn was able to get Montez Rupstavicius, and just really has that it factor when scouting and building those relationships overseas in general. And that's not to say he doesn't do other things well, and he wouldn't be worth having if this were to pass and you couldn't get those international talent anymore. But it's just, hey, look, that was a big part of why Auburn picked him up, and the prior relationships as well. And that would obviously just be completely eliminated. And you would have to really focus in on the high school ranks, as well as obviously the transfer portal with those that are in college. And when you look back at it, Auburn's done a lot of the mid-major ranks. This past season, Keyshawn Hall, Keyshawn Murphy were probably two of the bigger names that the Tigers have grabbed out of the transfer portal. Walker Kessler, you go back to 2022, that was one. But Jani Broome came from Morehead State. Wendell Green Jr. came from Eastern Kentucky. Chad Baker Mazzara was at a million different schools prior to coming to Auburn. Kevin Overton was another big name from Texas Tech. Miles Kelly from Georgia Tech was probably another big name. But then you look like Denver Jones, Chaney Johnson, they're from Florida International and University of Alabama, Huntsville. So Auburn has done most of its work in the transfer portal with current college athletes at the mid-major level and develop those guys in multi-year transfers. And then obviously you've had, like I said, the guys that have plugged in and straight from Georgia Tech, like Miles Kelly or North Carolina, like Walker Kessler. And they've been absolute impact players, but that has not been the reason Auburn's been successful over this last decade. It's been because of development out of the high school ranks and then the development of the mid-major transfers. And with that said, I would hate for this aspect of recruiting and this portal and everything to be just kind of ripped away. I don't, as long as it is what it's been and not Charles Bediako coming out of the G League, or RJ Lewis coming out of the G League. That's where we've taken it a step too far. And I'm not here to go on some, you know, to talk about this as much, because I think it's an exhausted discussion. This happened in February. I really don't want to talk about, but these guidelines that have been presented are very important and would really just throw a wrench in everything and would flip the college basketball world upside down. And quite frankly, a lot of other sports as well. So I hope it doesn't come to fruition at this point. There's got to be something to prevent the situation we saw this season. We got to prevent that from happening again. I understand that. But we can't do this at this point in the offseason. It's too late. Now, if you're talking about next year, sure, that's great. But even then, like, you have, as long if you grandfather guys in, then okay. But if you're looking at the aspect, oh, well, they're done after this year, that's, I think that's a little ridiculous as well. So a lot to be determined there, a lot to be learned as well. And I don't expect there to be necessarily a final answer in the next month, because that's the other thing. This could be dragged out for 2 years for all we know. That's the NCAA. That's what they do. That's how they live and go about their business. So I don't expect this to be a big deal for this upcoming season. Now, of course, there could be a case by case issue, and hopefully Auburn wouldn't be at the forefront of that. But you never know, and that could be part of why this has come up and become a topic of a discussion. So that's something to keep your eye on. And that's my biggest thing is the timing. It's not necessarily what they're trying to do. I don't necessarily think it's a horrible idea. And I mean, so listen, Max Barr at Max Barr with two R's, CBB on X. He does a great job covering college basketball and specifically SEC basketball. And he has a visual depth chart. You can find it on his Twitter profile. It's pinned to his profile. And you can kind of see, all right, there's a lot of these teams in these high major conferences, they've got international flavor. And with that said, it tells me that these teams and these programs have decided, all right, we're not going to maybe build our entire team out to be this way every single year. LSU kind of has no choice to do it this year, but that way, but they want it to at least have that momentum rolling. So that way, if an opportunity arises to bring over an absolute stud, heck yeah, they're ready to do it. So I don't know, maybe that's what the NCAA is seeing and wants to prevent. But regardless, it's just not the direction that I really saw coming. I thought this would be more targeted at the G League and the NBA and everything that goes into that, and not the international athletes. With that said, some good news for an Auburn international athlete. Narcisse Ngoy won his league MVP honors over in the French Elite 2 League, and he was already Defensive Player of the Year. So he dominated over there, averaging a double-double, 11 points, 11.8 rebounds per game, 2.8 blocks per game. He was a stud. And that is another part of this, like, you miss out on Ngoy and Bruce Devicius because of some crazy rule that the NCAA implements a full month and a half after the transfer portal closed. Whew, like, there are going to be unhappy head coaches, general managers, doesn't matter who, but if they're a part of the program, they're going to be upset. But I think this continues to amplify how good Ngoy was this past year in the French Elite 2 League, and how good he can be whenever he comes over and joins Auburn. Again, this is not, it's the Elite 2 League. It's not the highest league over in France, but he dominated. And to me, that proves to me, like some of those mid-major guys that Auburn's brought in, where maybe they were having great success, but it was time for them to take the next step. And I think that's something that Ngoy wants to do and can do that over here in America and do it alongside a guy like Buki Oboye, who Coach Pearl has talked about. Listen, Oboye is a guy that had a late growth spurt. So when he was middle school, high school, early high school, he was playing a lot of guard because he wasn't the 7'1" body that he is now. And for you to have a solidified interior presence like Ngoy there that is comfortable in his body and is ready to go, that's just going to help Buki grow and become the best version of himself as he, I don't even want to say learns from him, but just as he develops in the Auburn program. Owen Freeman's the same way, just recovering from an injury. Obviously, we know what his ceiling is, being the Big Ten Freshman of the Year a few years back, but he can certainly still develop after suffering some tough injuries. So I think that Ngoy just adding to the hardware case with this MVP honor, it really should provide some confidence. One, that, hey, look, again, Auburn's a lot bigger this year. Auburn is really focused on building that front court the way it has in the past, like with Janai Broome and Dylan Cardwell, Walker Kessler, and Jabari Smith. Those are those front courts that were so elite that they were difficult to beat. And SEC title in 2022, SEC championship in 2025, and then the Final Four run, you can look at the front court as big pieces to that puzzle. Obviously, there's more to it, but that's a great start. And it's the foundational piece that you need. Obviously, you would consider Taha Pettiford and Kevin Overton the foundational piece here with them returning and everything. But, I mean, it starts in the front court in this aspect of it, where Auburn's coming off a year where he did not play good defense. And under Stephen Pearl, that has never been the case. We've gone through the numbers. Auburn on KenPom was outside the top 100 in defensive efficiency. That hasn't happened since the year prior to the first SEC title with Bruce Pearl. So 2016-17. So about a decade ago. So this coaching staff wants to get back to playing elite defense. You've got some great shooters. And then you're going to develop the offensive games of Narcisse Ngoy and Buki Oboye and Owen Freeman so that they can dominate in the front court. Hopefully. Hey, look, it'd be great if they were at the same level as Janai Broome. It's not going to happen. He was maybe, probably, yeah, he was the greatest Auburn basketball player that we've seen in that season, in that run. Yeah, Charles Barkley was awesome, but when you consider that everything that's changed in the last 40 years, Janai being the National Player of the Year, SEC Player of the Year, that all adds up. So I just think that Ngoy, Freeman, Oboye are just going to have a great impact, and the further proof of it being this MVP honor. And again, high upside is probably the phrase to use for these three guys. Like I said, Ngoy maybe hasn't played the highest caliber competition. Oboye still growing into his body as a center, and then Freeman recovering from an injury. But we all know what their ceilings are and how they can perform. So excited to see that and excited to get to it. SEC spring meetings are taking place now. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of interesting comments about some of these situations and what's going on with the NCAA and expanded tournament field and things like that. You're already hearing it with football coaches over the past couple of days. So anything interesting that comes out of that, we'll talk about it next week and look ahead to the rest of the offseason and start to continue to break this roster down and what we expect more. Maybe what we see as a potential depth chart for Auburn. I think it's pretty straightforward, but we might as well do the exercise just to start to build some expectations for this upcoming season. It's never too early to do that, of course. And we don't want to do it too crazy with it, but I think you can expect an improvement for this Auburn team this upcoming season. We'll talk about why that is in the coming weeks. So again, a lot of content coming out from Auburn football with the recruiting news, Auburn baseball with its postseason journey. Heck, Auburn men's golf is getting a chance to go win another national championship. Jackson Coivins, he won the Ben Hogan Award, joined some elite names there, and he's probably going to win the Haskins Award, the golf equivalent of the Heisman Trophy here in the coming days. So lots going on there, lots of news. Subscribe to the Barn Podcast Network, hit the like button on YouTube, and then go and do the same wherever you listen to your podcast. And we've got all the updates covered for you. So with that being said, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.